Good morning, everyone. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. That's some morning out there, isn't it? As I was coming over to the church, the words of the old hymn came to mind, "I feel the wind of God today." But I'm trying to forget the next line, "Today my sailor lift." I wouldn't like to be out in a boat today, but it's good to see you all. And we begin our service on this Palm Sunday by hearing St. Matthew's account of the first Palm Sunday. Hear then the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 367, hymn 367, "Hosanna, loud Hosanna."
Hosanna, Hosanna,
at various points in our opening prayer, I will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and I invite you to respond, "Hosanna in the highest." The call to prayer comes from Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. King of kings, yet servant of all, we worship you. Lord of lords, who gave yourself for the life of the world, we praise you. Giver of life, yet dying for all, we honour you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day you entered the holy city, and the people welcomed you with palms and shouts of joy. We welcome you now into our midst, and with all your people in every place, we proclaim that you are the Lord of heaven, our humble King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Spirit of God, you seek to create within us the mind of Christ and prompt us to take up our cross and walk in his footsteps. We confess that, like the crowds of old, we praise you with our lips but struggle to follow you with our lives. We glimpse your glory, yet are distracted by lesser things. We pledge our loyalty, but fail to obey your commands. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Almighty God, forgive us. Redeemer King, have mercy upon us. Lord Jesus Christ, as we look to you lowly and riding on a donkey, draw us deeper into the mystery of your love. As we seek to follow you, teach us the path of humility and obedience, even when it leads us through times of suffering and sacrifice. As we lift up our voices in praise, cleanse our hearts, renew our spirits, and grant that in joy and sorrow we may stand faithfully with you, the one worthy of all glory, Lord, and honour. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. A few notices to bring to your attention. Tea, coffee, and biscuits will be served here in the sanctuary following the service. Please do remain for a further time of fellowship if you can. The prayer team will meet in the Michael Chapel at approximately 11:40. All are welcome. If you would like someone to be prayed for, please write their name on a tag and attach it to the prayer tree or place it in the box in the chapel. The Tuesday Group Annual General Meeting and lunch will be held at the King Robert Hotel this Tuesday at 12 noon. Tickets are still available from Elaine, who's sitting over there. We look forward to St Ninian's Primary School's Easter service here in the church on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. It's always a wonderful thing to welcome the school, the pupils and their teachers, and then all the parents and other family members and friends. So do please remember the children, their teachers and their families in your prayers. The craft group will meet in the parish halls on Tuesday at 2:00. And on the intimation sheet, there's a notice regarding the Easter Holiday Club, which will be held in the mornings from Monday the 13th of April to Wednesday the 15th. Register online if you would like a child to attend, or there's leaflets in both vestibules of the church. Holy Week services each evening this coming week at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow evening we look forward to going to St Mary's Roman Catholic Church, and I was up seeing Father Robert Taylor the other day. He's a very fine man indeed. So all will be welcome there at St Mary's tomorrow at 7. Then here in the old parish on Tuesday at 7. Wednesday we go to St Mark's. Monday, Thursday, Jake and I will lead the communion service in Park Church. Then on Good Friday, we'll be at the Church of the Holy Rood. There'll be a further time of fellowship following each service, and in connection with that, donations of baking for the fellowship following the service here on Tuesday can be left at the parish halls on Tuesday afternoon between 2:30 and 4:00. So that's donations of baking for the fellowship after the service on Tuesday evening can be left at the hall between 2:30 and 4:00 on Tuesday afternoon. And then next Sunday, of course, Easter Day, 7:30, the open air service at King's Park. Let's hope and pray that the weather will be kind to us. That's always a great occasion, though, regardless of the weather, just to come together and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour. And then at 10:30, a family service here with the sacrament of baptism. And that will be followed by a further time of fellowship in the parish halls. Now, Easter's a great time to invite a friend or to bring a family member along who doesn't normally come. So that is your challenge. Bring a friend or a family member who doesn't normally come to church, either throughout this Holy Week and most certainly next Sunday morning. Let's make it a wonderful service of Easter celebration. I think that concludes all the notices. Jake.
Well, good morning. If there are any children present who would like to come forward, I'll invite you to come up at this time. So as they're coming up, of course, you've probably picked up by now that today is Palm Sunday, and it's not about these kind of palms. It's not even really about the branches kind of palms, but it's a day that we remember when people celebrated Jesus riding into Jerusalem. They waved palm branches, they threw their coats on the ground, and they shouted something. What do you think they shouted? Do you remember? It was in the song. We just said it in our prayers. They shouted, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Now, who knows what Hosanna means? Anyone. So Hosanna means save us. So they were shouting, save us, Jesus, save us. And they wanted Jesus, they were celebrating him because he was riding into town. They thought he was going to save them from the Romans, these people that occupied them. He was going to save them from their leaders who were kind of holding them down and make Israel this great nation again. They thought he was going to sit on the throne forever and make this a powerful country, a powerful nation. So I thought we would kind of recreate that event this morning. We don't have palm branches. I think they all blew away out there. So I brought what I thought would be the next best thing to celebrate Palm Sunday with, and that is bubbles. So I'm going to give you each a little bubble wand. Oh, yeah, that came out of there. All right, good. There you go. You're welcome. Want one, George? No. All right. Fine. So we're going to pretend like we're the crowd, and you're going to participate as well. We're going to pretend like Jesus is passing by in this aisle over here. And could I have everyone say, Hosanna, Hosanna, just say it over and over again, while we wave our palms, our bubbles, in celebration, all right? We're going to blow the bubbles. We're not just going to wave them around. All right, are we ready? So he's coming. Say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Keep going, keep going. Want to build some? Lovely. Who needs palm branches, right? We have bubbles. All right, we're going to stop. Now, it's fun, right? Everyone loves a celebration. Everyone loves a party. Now, what happens to all those bubbles as they go? Do they last? No, not really. Will any of these bubbles be here at the end of the service? They might last for a while. They're sitting there for quite some time. But bubbles don't last long, right? Bubbles eventually burst. And that's kind of what happens in this story of Holy Week as well. Jesus is riding into town. It's this great celebration. People are waving their palms, blowing their bubbles, but eventually the bubble does burst. So as we go through this week, we have Maundy Thursday, where Jesus is betrayed. The bubble kind of bursts there. And then we have Good Friday, where he's crucified. The bubble really bursts there. And the crazy thing is that the same people who were there cheering for him on Palm Sunday were there on Good Friday shouting for him to be crucified. So it's hard to imagine that the bubble could burst in that big of a way, that they're celebrating him one day, and the next week they're shouting for him to be crucified and die. But if you think about our lives also have a lot of ups and downs. We have really good times where we're blowing bubbles, and we have times when those bubbles burst. We have happy times, we have sad times. We have times when our faith is really strong and times when our faith feels kind of low and our faith kind of pops like a bubble. But the story of Palm Sunday, the story of Holy Week, is that Jesus stays with us through all of those times. When we're high, when we're low, when we're good, when we're bad, when our bubbles are strong, and when our bubbles burst, Jesus is with us. So he's with us on Palm Sunday. He's with the crowd when they're shouting for him to be crucified. And what happens next Sunday? Do you know what next Sunday is? You guys know. Easter. You guys are shy. That's all right. So next Sunday is Easter, and that day is a day we celebrate that nothing at all can separate us from Jesus, not even death. So he's with us through everything and remains with us always. So I want you all to remember that during good times, bad times, happy times, sad times, that Jesus is always with us, and that's always a reason to celebrate. So you've got the bubbles to do that with now. So thank you all very, very much for coming up. And now we'll sing together the hymn 399, My Song is Love Unknown. And make a note, we'll sing verses 1 through 4 and verse 7. Hymn 399.
Thank you. First reading is from Isaiah chapter 50, reading verses 4 to 9, and can be found on page 612 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah 50, 4 to 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of one who has been instructed to console the weary with a timely word. He made my hearing sharp every morning, that I might listen like one under instruction. The Lord God opened my ears, and I did not disobey or turn back in defiance. I offered my back to the lash and let my beard be plucked from my chin. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. But the Lord is my helper, therefore no insult can wound me. I know that I shall not be put to shame, therefore I have set my face like flint. One who will clear my name is at my side. Who dare argue against me? Let us confront one another. Who will dispute my cause? Let him come forward. The Lord God is my helper. Who then can declare me guilty? They will all wear out like a garment. The moth will devour them.
Our gospel reading. Our gospel reading is a bit longer this morning as we read the Passion narrative. So we're reading it in parts to give a little variety to the voices and a little rest to our voices. But the page number is printed in your order of service, but I would encourage you to sit and just hear the story as it is read and let yourself kind of soak into that moment. We read the Passion story, the gospel according to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Did you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed.
Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified."
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes amongst themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way.
From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last.
At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son."
Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Amen. Thanks be to God. We sing the hymn 377, "Go to Dark Gethsemane."
So today, of course, is Palm Sunday and or Passion Sunday. And it's got two names because, frankly, it's a service in which we cover a lot of ground. We begin by remembering and reading about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where crowds line the streets, spreading their cloaks on the road and cutting branches from nearby trees to lay before Jesus while, of course, shouting, Hosanna. And then fairly quickly, we skip right over most of Holy Week and jump right into the trial and crucifixion of Jesus on Good Friday. There is a lot going on this day, and to be fair, it's a bit of a jolt, going right from the joyful high of Palm Sunday to the depths of despair and grief on Good Friday. And I would say if you came in today not expecting or not knowing what was going to happen, you might end up with a bit of spiritual whiplash from the whole experience. It's a rough transition for anyone, but bear in mind, we know how it ends. We know that this isn't the end of the story, but with next Sunday, of course, comes the joy and the hope of Easter. So as much as it is for us to take in, just imagine how those disciples, those followers of Jesus, and those who celebrated on that day in Jerusalem felt as they moved through the events of this unimaginable week. These were people who had spent time with Jesus and who had seen firsthand what he could do. They sat at his feet as he taught on a hillside and fed thousands. They had watched in awe as he healed lepers and brought sight to the blind and made the lame to walk. They stood speechless as he brought back not one, not two, but three people from the dead. Now, I like to point out that Jesus never met a dead person that he didn't bring back to life. But that's a sermon for another Sunday. But from walking on water to casting out demons to confronting the powers and the authorities of the religious leaders, they had watched and walked with Jesus as he did truly remarkable things, as he did the impossible. And now it seemed as Jesus entered Jerusalem, it was all coming to a head. They had been living in an occupied land under the authority of the Roman Empire. They had been taken advantage of by tax collectors and oppressed by corrupt rulers. And now, on this day, they were looking for one more miracle. On this day, as faithful people streamed into Jerusalem in anticipation of the Passover, Jesus' procession was entering the town. And it's worth noting that it wouldn't have been the only procession entering town on that day, but Herod, the king, would have been present in the city, likely riding into the city on or around the same time from his hilltop fortress, and he would have ridden in a display of power. And on the other side of town, Pontius Pilate would have almost certainly been riding into town from his home in Caesarea Maritima in a military procession from another gate, maybe at the exact same time that Jesus was entering the city. And this procession, Pilate's procession, would have been an intentional show of strength meant to put down any hints of rebellion or unrest among the crowds of people who had gathered on that day. So as Jesus rode into town, things had hit a breaking point, and the people were expecting that this might finally be the moment when Jesus would use his position, his popularity, and his miraculous power to finally take control of the nation. This would be the moment where he would finally sit as king over God's people and rule over the throne of David forever, as the prophets had foretold. But as we know, instead of a military procession, or instead of a royal cavalcade, instead of a demonstration of power and a show of strength, Jesus decides to ride into town on a donkey. And he does it to show that his way is a different way. He does it to show that his rule would be a different kind of rule. And as we see Jesus usher in this new way to rule and this new way to lead that stood in such stark contrast to everything that the ways of the world had led people to believe, there's one question that resonates through all of these events and through all of our readings. One question that echoes through all of the events that fill Holy Week and Easter Sunday. And it's a question that we hear asked by the people at the end of the reading that we read to open the service as they see Jesus riding into town on that donkey. And that question is, who is this? Who is this? Matthew tells us that as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? And throughout our readings, this question is asked and answered in a number of different ways. First, we hear the crowds on Palm Sunday answer the question directly, saying, well, this is the prophet, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And it seems like a straightforward answer, one we would all nod our heads to at first. But at a closer look, we really realize the people don't still fully understand who Jesus is. They say, this is the prophet, Jesus. You know, we have the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of having read the gospel and knowing how the story ends. So we know that Jesus is more than a prophet. But again, these were people who were expecting one thing, and this isn't quite it. They know that Jesus is special, but they either don't know or are unwilling to confess that this guy, the guy riding into town on a donkey rather than on a war horse, they're not quite ready to commit that this person is the Messiah and the Savior that they were hoping for. So, you know, who is this? Then as Pilate questions Jesus, we hear this question echo again as he opens his interrogation of Jesus with the question, are you the King of the Jews? In asking this question, Pilate also wanted to know, you know, who is this? And to be clear, this wasn't just a question out of curiosity, but this was a political question with significant implications. For if Jesus was claiming to be a king, this was a threat to Herod's rule, and more importantly to Pilate, it was a threat to Caesar's rule and a threat to the authority of Rome. But that day, Pilate, looking at the man in front of him, Pilate didn't see a man who was dressed like a would-be king or stood with the authority of a would-be king. He saw a poor teacher from the hill country. And even as the crowd shouts, crucify him, Pilate responds by asking, why? What evil has he done? So again, that question resonates. But who is this? Then as Jesus is handed over to be crucified, the soldiers mock Jesus' identity sarcastically, giving him a scarlet robe, a reed for a scepter, placing a crown of thorns on his head, and they spit on him, mocking him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. Who is this? And as he's hanging from the cross, still that question echoes as people pass by, deriding him, saying, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And shouting, he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross. Again, who is this? He says he's God's son. He says he's the King of Israel. Well, now is the time to prove it. So this question resonates through all of our readings. The people expected the Messiah to arrive in a show of authority worthy of a king. They expected a Savior who would rule with strength and power. But instead, they see a man who rides into the city on a donkey and then goes to his death on a cross. So as he goes to that cross, he defies expectations, and the people stand and ask, who is this? But the beautiful irony of this story, the beautiful irony, in fact, of the gospel, is that this is exactly where we get the answer to that question. As Jesus is on the cross, as he dies, darkness covers the land, the temple curtain is torn in two, the earth shakes, the tombs are opened, and in that moment, as Jesus hangs on the cross, lifeless, We hear not from a disciple, not from a king, not from a priest, but from a centurion. We hear the answer to our question. Who is this? He says, truly, this man was God's son. Who is this? Now, this is a question that echoes throughout the gospel, and it's a question that I think still resonates and echoes throughout our world today. Who is this? How do you answer that question? How do we answer that question? Just like the people who were with Jesus during his life, we still approach Jesus with a wide range of expectations. At times, we come to Jesus expecting power or might or privilege. At times, we come to Jesus expecting comfort or strength or safety. We want a Jesus who supports our causes and reflects our values and our traditions. We want a Jesus who will stamp out those powers in our world who oppress others simply to enrich themselves. And what we get is a Savior who rides on a donkey and goes to a cross. Just like the world at the time of Jesus, too often power is in the hands of those who rule with strength and control with violence. Too often the world equates wealth and status and power with things like wisdom and leadership, so that those who find their way to the top of society are then given the authority to lead. But in Jesus, we see a very different way. In Jesus, we get something very different. We get a leader who leads from the bottom. We get a king who walks with those he serves. We get a Savior who dies for those he loves. And throughout the gospel, as we encounter Jesus, we are confronted with that question, who is this? And it's no accident that the answer is made clear in that moment when Jesus hangs on a cross. It's in that moment that we see the lengths that our God will go to in order to demonstrate his love for us and his love for the world. It is in that moment on the cross that God stands in solidarity, not with the rich and the powerful, not with those who seek to rule and govern by strength and force and power, but in that moment, God stands with each of us, and God stands with all of us, from the greatest to the least. Who is this? This is our God, who is with us. The theologian and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote that the deep meaning of the cross, the deep meaning of the cross of Christ, is that there is no suffering on earth that is not borne by God. So again, the deep meaning of the cross of Christ is that there is no suffering on earth that is not borne by God. So in that moment on the cross, God identifies with each of us. And God proves his love for all of us, not when we are at our best, but when we are at our worst. So who is this? Throughout this week, as we move through the events that led to the cross and led to the resurrection, I encourage us all to continue to let that question echo, to continue to ask that question of ourselves and let it resonate in our lives and in the world. Who is this? And whatever life brings us, good or bad, may we answer that question the same way that centurion did on the hillside so long ago. May we look to the cross, and may we know the love of Christ, and may we too answer and proclaim with confidence, truly, this man is God's son. Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing the hymn 386, Lifted High on Your Cross, hymn 386.
our prayer of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you on this holy day with palms in our hands and praise in our lips. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who entered Jerusalem in humility and peace, was welcomed with shouts of Hosanna, and hailed as the coming King. Gracious God, we remember how quickly the cries of joy turned to cries of crucify him. And we confess that we too are often fickle in faith and slow in love. Lord Jesus, you came not in power but in vulnerability, not to be served but to serve, and to give your life for the world. Help us to follow you on the way of the cross, even when it is costly and hard to do so. Humble King, lifted high upon your cross, you bore the weight of human sin and sorrow and showed the immensity of your mercy and love. In your suffering, we see the depth of your compassion. In your death, we see the mystery of your redeeming grace. Loving God, we pray for your church throughout the world, that it may faithfully proclaim your kingdom, not in triumphalism, but in humility and truth. So strengthen all who lead and serve, that they may walk in the way of Christ. Gracious God, we pray for the nations of the world at this troubled time. Where there is conflict, bring peace. Where there is injustice, bring righteousness. Where there is despair, bring hope. And teach us to be instruments of your peace, laying down the weapons of pride and hatred. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who suffer, the sick, the grieving, the lonely, the oppressed. Draw near to them in their need and let them know the presence of the one who suffered and died and who lives again. Humble King, we give thanks for all your faithful servants who have gone before us, for their witness, their love, and the ways in which they shaped our lives and strengthened our faith. We offer you our gratitude. May their memory and example inspire us to follow Christ with the same devotion and hope, trusting and believing that nothing can separate us from your love in him. Loving God, we pray for ourselves, that our praise may be more than words, that our lives may reflect your love, and that we may walk with Jesus from the palms of celebration to the cross of sacrifice and onward to the joy of resurrection. We offer you thanks and these our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reminder to you that you're welcome to remain for tea, coffee, and a biscuit following the service if you can. The closing hymn, hymn 365, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty.
Thank you.
in peace, welcoming Christ with joy into your hearts. Follow him in humility and love, and walk in his way. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.